I trust that you are not disappointed with the late start. I apologize for starting later than I had announced. I originally announced the starting time would be at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and I had to come to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania this afternoon, and I was not aware that it would be later because of what I had to do here in Pittsburgh. So I do this prophetic teaching from Chicago, but I'm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I did not want to miss this Monday night. So we start a little late, but better late than never. And I'm so excited, as always, coming and sharing the word of the Lord with you on our prophetic school broadcast. Encourage someone else to tune us in if they want to learn more about the prophetic, want to get their understanding of the prophetic on a different level. And we've gotten so many testimonies from people who viewed the first two programs, and you'll have a chance to go to our website at www.johneckhartministries.com, and you can view the previous programs. And then, of course, if you also want to order the book that I'm recommending, my book called God Still Speaks. It's a book on prophetic ministry that I've written that talks about personal prophecy, corporate prophecy, prophetic presbytery, prophetic teams, the office of the prophet. Many have ordered that book, and you can go straight to our website at www.johneckhartministries.com, and you can order the book God Still Speaks. And there are other books you can order as well, but that's the book that I'm recommending for those who want to learn more, study more on the subject of the prophetic ministry. This is my 35th year of ministering, and my wife is calling me now, so I'll have to catch that call later. My 35th year of ministry, and I've been in the prophetic ministry since 1989. And so 25 years in prophetic ministry, 35 years in ministry, and the prophetic ministry is something that is very close to my heart and something I want to see more and more believers come into in the days to come. And multitudes of believers are coming into a knowledge and understanding of the prophetic around the world. And so it's so exciting to see what God is doing around the world. So many people responding to this particular teaching, to the books that we've written on the subject of the prophetic. And today I'm going to do a teaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I've taught from this chapter many times. I want to entitle this particular teaching, Prophetic Protocol, and give you some important, I believe, teachings on the subject of prophetic ministry, some important principles that will govern the prophetic and really give you an understanding how you as a believer can move more in the prophetic, how you as a believer can understand the prophetic, how your faith can be built in the prophetic, and how you can understand how to operate in the prophetic in the context of the church corporately, what's proper, what's improper, what we need to do if we're going to increase our prophetic flow. And this chapter is filled with information and understanding on the prophetic ministry. The first verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 gives us one of the most important principles if you want to begin to move in the prophetic, if you want to begin to prophesy, if you want your prophetic level to increase. I get questions all the time from people asking, how do I get my prophetic level to increase? How do I begin to prophesy in a greater depth? Well, it always begins with a desire, and I want to emphasize that, a desire. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 says this, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, it tells us of all the gifts that we should desire, the one we should desire the most is to prophesy. Now, there are many different gifts in the body. There are different anointings, different giftings. We often talk about the nine gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of revelation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, the gifts of power, gift of faith, gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, working of miracles, the gifts of utterance, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. But notice what Paul tells the Corinthian church. He says, number one, desire spiritual gifts. In the Greek, it literally means desire spirituals. So if you want to move in the things of the Spirit, You have to have a desire. Now, unfortunately, many churches don't desire the things of the Spirit. They either talk against them, put them down, say they're not important, or they say they're not for today. We don't believe in that for today. And as a result, they don't really move very much in spiritual gifts. The difference between moving in spiritual gifts and not moving in spiritual gifts is often a lack or a desire, a lack of desire, or simply a desire to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. I would say this: never allow anyone to take away your desire for the gifts or the manifestations of the Spirit. Don't allow any preacher, any pastor to talk you out of this. It is important for you as a believer to desire spiritual gifts. It says follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. And the reason why you want to desire spiritual gifts is not so you can make a name for yourself. It's not for you to have a great ministry or to impress someone. It's for you to be a blessing to someone else. And so the motivation is charity or love. Follow after charity, follow after love, and desire spiritual gifts. When you really begin to operate in the love of God and you want to be a blessing to humanity, you will desire spiritual gifts. But then he says, but rather that you may prophesy. And so of all the gifts you should desire to prophesy. Our church never moved strongly in the prophetic until, as the leader, I began to have a desire for the prophetic to operate in our local assembly. Before that time, we believed in prophecy. We were always Pentecostal. We believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We spoke in tongues, but our prophetic level was very low. We didn't have very much prophecy in our church. But when I began to get a desire for prophecy, I began to desire that to operate in our local assembly. I began to teach on it. I began to teach it in a way where the members began to desire this. I began to show them the benefits and the blessings of prophecy, why we should desire it. That's when our church began to increase in the prophetic. And that was in 1989. That's almost 25 years ago. And so it all begins with the desire. Do you have a desire to prophesy? Or have you had a desire to prophesy, but you've lost that desire because maybe someone told you you should not desire this, or you don't need this, or it's not important? Some people have been taught that you don't need prophecy because we have the Word of God. We have the written Word of God, the Logos. Well, prophecy is a part of the Word of God. And even though the Word of God gives us many biblical principles that we live by, and even though we don't exalt prophecy above the Word of God, prophecy has a prominent place in our lives spiritually. If you are a spirit-filled believer, remember I taught this, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the doorway to the prophetic. And so if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, there will be a door that you can begin to operate in the prophetic. And God does desire for you to prophesy, but he also wants you to desire to prophesy. So do you have a desire? Do you have a hunger for this? Do you want this? You're viewing this program is probably an indication that you do desire to prophesy. Sometimes we don't desire to prophesy because we're not around anyone who prophesies, or we've never seen it in manifestation, or it's not operating in our church, so there's really not a hunger or a desire for the prophetic. But when you begin to see how this gift blesses people, and I've seen this around the world, I've had the privilege of preaching in over 80 nations and on 5 continents, and I can tell you that wherever I go, people want to hear the voice of God, and they want to hear the prophetic word. And I've seen thousands of people's lives blessed, transformed, changed by prophecy. So I know the blessing of this gift. And so I have a great desire for the prophetic. I've had a desire for it for 25 years, and my desire has not waned in 25 years. I have a greater desire to prophesy now than ever before. And I believe that is one of the keys for the gift of prophecy, the spirit of prophecy, the prophesying, speaking by the prophetic unction. I believe that's one of the major keys to beginning to operate in the prophetic. And then he tells us in verse number 2, he differentiates between speaking in tongues and prophesying. He says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort." That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 3. It gives us the benefit of prophecy. When you prophesy, you speak unto men to edification, which means to build up, to exhortation, which means to encourage, and to comfort, which means to bring solace. And so the primary definition of prophecy is speaking by the inspiration of God and speaking unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. That is the primary purpose of prophecy. Now, most people, when they think of prophecy, they think in terms of prediction or predicting the future. But the basic definition of prophecy is speaking unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. So literally, you don't have to have any prediction in it for it to be a prophetic word. Now, you can have prediction within prophecy. You can have a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom to give someone through the vehicle of prophecy. But many people think that if you're going to prophesy, you need to try to predict something. And people often get out of their grace by trying to predict something, and the prediction doesn't come to pass because they think being a prophet or prophesying is predicting the future. Well, prophecy can be a very simple word. It can be a word like fear not, do not be afraid, or be encouraged, I love you. I mean, it's amazing the words that you can give people. I've seen people break down when you just speak the word of the Lord to them, very simply saying, the Lord says, I love you, I haven't forsaken you, I'm with you. I've seen people break down just from that prophetic word. Nothing deep, nothing predictive. It's just a word of edification, a word of exhortation, and a word of comfort. And the church needs edification, it needs exhortation, and it needs comfort. With what people are being challenged with in this day, and every individual goes through challenges in life where you need to hear the voice of the Lord, you need to hear the prophetic words spoken over your life, you need to hear edification and exhortation and comfort. All of us need to be built up. The word edify means to build. It's from the root, it's the root of the word edifice. And of course, the church needs to be built up. Prophecy is one of the vehicles that helps build up strong believers and helps build up strong churches. Excuse me. So prophecy doesn't have to have any prediction whatsoever. It's just speaking by the inspiration of God, words of edification and exhortation and comfort. Now, prophets can not only speak edification, exhortation, and comfort, but they can also give direction. They can give a prediction, because within the vehicle of prophecy, there can be words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and revelation. And even a believer can give predictive words. So I'm not limiting any believer to just giving words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. You can give words of correction, words of adjustment, words of prediction. There's a lot you can do through the prophetic word, but I'm sharing with you the basic foundational definition of prophecy. He that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. So we should desire to speak unto men words of edification, words of exhortation, and words of comfort. Often when we're training people in the prophetic, when I say train, you can't teach anyone how to prophesy, but you can teach them how to hear the voice of God and speak it out by faith. We have many exercises we do in our church, and I'll do a teaching on that in the days to come, different exercises we use to help people get faith to what they see or what they hear, to release it, to speak it forth. And often when we begin to do this, we tell people when they first start to stay in the realm of edification, exhortation, and comfort, because by doing that, no one gets hurt. We tell them, don't try to, you know, see something bad. Don't say, I see a dark cloud over you. Don't say, I see a death angel following you. You know, we don't want people to come and get a word that's going to destroy their life. So we keep them within the parameters of edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now, the more experienced you become in the prophetic, then you can begin within your prophetic utterances to give words of correction, or words of prediction, or words of knowledge, or words of wisdom, or words bringing healing. And so you can get more in depth. When we first start training people in the prophetic, we tell them to stay within the parameters of edification, exhortation, and comfort. The word edify means to build up. The word exhort means to encourage. The word comfort means to bring solace. But also notice that the Holy Spirit is called a comforter. Jesus said, I'm going to send you another comforter. And that word comforter in the Greek, the word paraclete, means a helper, an intercessor, a standby, someone that comes alongside of you to help. One of the major ways that the Spirit of God helps us is through prophecy. Prophecy is a vehicle through which the Holy Spirit comforts us, because prophecy comforts. And so often when people need comfort, when they're going through tests, trials, temptations, they're suffering, they want to hear the voice of God, as we prophesy to them, we release words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. And it's amazing how their spirits are uplifted, how their countenance comes back, how depression, discouragement is lifted, because you never know what a person is dealing with in their personal life and how they really need to hear the word of the Lord. So as we desire this, we begin to desire to prophesy, that's when the level of the prophetic will begin to increase in your life. And then he defines what it is. It's edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now there's another point I want to bring out. I'm not going to go verse by verse through 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm going to pull some verses out. Notice in the first verse he says, follow after charity and desire to prophesy, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now notice as you go down to the end of the chapter, verse number 39, notice the word that Paul gives concerning prophecy. He says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Notice the word he uses, covet, a very strong word. So not only must you have a desire, you need to have a strong desire to prophesy. And he says, actually, covet to prophesy. The word covet often in the Bible is used to describe coveting something wrong or something evil or coveting something that is not yours. But in this case, it actually tells us to covet to prophesy. So Paul says desire to prophesy, but in verse 39, he says covet to prophesy. Have a strong desire to prophesy. So there's nothing wrong with your having a strong desire to prophesy. Don't let anyone talk you out of that. Don't let anyone tell you that's not right. Sometimes people have this teaching that if God wants you to prophesy, he'll just make you prophesy. Well, if God wants you to prophesy, he'll just give you a gift of prophecy, and he'll just almost force you to prophesy. No, God works through our desire. God wants you to desire to prophesy, desire spiritual gifts, covet to prophesy. You need to desire it. You need to do your part. When you begin to do your part, then the Spirit of God will begin to move through your desire. And so desire, covet is very important when it comes to the prophetic. If a church does not desire the prophetic, that church will not operate in a strong level of the prophetic. If a pastor does not have a desire for the prophetic, that church will not operate strongly in the prophetic. If a leader of a church or a group of churches say, we don't want this, we don't believe in this, chances are you cannot force that to operate in the church. I have people calling me and writing me all the time saying, well, what do I do if my church doesn't believe in the prophetic, or if my church doesn't allow it, or if my church doesn't want it? And I say, there's really not much you can do, but you can want it, and you can desire it, and you can go somewhere where you can be trained and activated and move in it. Don't let others' lack of desire keep you from desiring the gifts of the Spirit, and especially from prophecy. So of all the gifts, rather desire to prophesy. Because why? Because it is the gift that blesses the church more than any other gift. Now, all gifts are important. I believe in healing, miracles, faith, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, tongues and interpretation are the equivalent of prophecy. If someone gives a tongue and someone interprets it, give understanding, it's equivalent of prophecy. But of all the gifts that bring blessing to the church, the one that Paul identifies that brings the greatest blessing is prophecy. And because it edifies, it exhorts, and it comforts the church. That's why I love to teach on this. That's why I emphasize it so much, because I know the great blessing it brings to the church. And my desire is to see the church blessed. My desire is to see God's people have all that belongs to them. And so I emphasize this almost more than any other gift I teach about. I believe in teaching on other gifts, but I spend more time teaching on the prophetic and prophecy because it brings great blessing to the church. When we have corporate prophecy, personal prophecy, prophetic presbytery, prophetic singing, prophetic worship, It is amazing the blessing, the encouragement, the strength, the comfort, the edification, how it builds people, how it makes strong churches. If you want a strong church, when we talk about apostolic prophetic churches, we're not just using terminology. We're talking about building strong believers and strong churches. Well, prophecy is a supernatural manifestation of the Spirit that ministers and releases strength to the people of God, edifies them, builds them up, makes them strong, comforts them, brings them encouragement, because one of the greatest weapons of the enemy against you as the believer is discouragement. Discouragement will hinder you. It will block you. It'll lead you into depression. Discouragement will stop you from moving forward. It'll kill your momentum. Discouragement is one of the weapons that the enemy uses against the church and against every believer. And so you, in order to not to become discouraged, you either have to encourage yourself, you have to be encouraged through the word, you have to be encouraged through the gift of exhortation, but you also can be encouraged through prophecy. Prophecy is a gift that encourages us, and it breaks discouragement and frustration. There have been times in my life as a minister where it seemed as if I hit a wall, where I just couldn't go any further, where I hit something and discouragement came in and I became discouraged. And even though I knew I was called, I lost my momentum. But because I love to be around prophetic people, and because I know a lot of prophetic people, and because I love prophets, there's no way I could stay in that position, because I'm around the prophetic so much, that it's only a matter of time before someone that I may not have even talked to or talked about or talked my situation about, they release a word to me that breaks me through and edifies me and encourages me and comforts me and gives me my momentum back. And this includes preachers and pastors. I deal with pastors on a consistent basis who are discouraged, frustrated. They don't know what to do. And one of the first questions I ask them is, when was the last time you received prophetic ministry? Many of them tell me, I've not received the prophetic word in years. Some 3, 5, 10 years. And I say, how can you keep going without the power of God and the gifts of God and the gifts of the Spirit? And how do you go 3, 4, 5 years without even getting a prophetic word? Well, if there's no desire, there's no atmosphere, there's no culture, there's no teaching, there's no strong flow, it's possible to be in ministry for years and never receive a prophetic word. There's some of you watching me now, you've never received a prophetic word. Or you haven't received one on a consistent basis in years. Well, there's good news. God is raising the prophetic level. And he tells us something that I believe is also important about our level of the prophetic. It's found in verse number 12, one of my favorite verses. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you just tuned us in. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is a chapter that really talks about prophetic protocol and the proper way that prophecy should function in the local assembly. It says this, "Even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church." And notice those three words. Number one, desire to prophesy or desire spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 14 and 39, covet to prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14 and 12, zealous of spiritual gifts. So which means you should have a zeal for this, a passion, a zeal. Don't let anyone take your zeal for the prophetic away from you. Don't lose your zeal for the prophetic. Keep your zeal. Zeal is good. Sometimes people say, well, you're too zealous. No, some people have lost their zeal. And if you lose your zeal, you lose your passion, you will not move in the things of God. If you're going to be prophetic, be zealous, be passionate. Now, we need knowledge to go with the zeal, but never kill someone's zeal. Zeal is important. Zeal means to have a passion. It means to have a desire. It means to be passionate about. It means to covet. So it says, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, that includes prophecy, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Now remember, prophecy is to edify the church. He that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. So prophecy is a gift that edifies the church. But notice what Paul says. Paul said, not only should you desire to prophesy, be zealous to prophesy, covet to prophesy, you should seek to excel in it. In other words, our level of the prophetic should never be below average or mediocre. We should excel in it. Now, when you look at the word excel, if you look that word up in the Greek, it means to superabound in quality or quantity. It's an amazing word. To superabound in quality or quantity, which means our prophetic utterances should abound in quality, even superabound, and our prophetic utterances should superabound in quantity, which means if you're excelling in the prophetic, you will not give one word a year, or you'll not hear one prophecy in the church in a year, or in every couple of years. Any church that has very little prophecy is not excelling in it. Anytime you hear the word excel, it means someone who's above average, someone that goes beyond the norm. And God not only wants us to prophesy, he wants us to excel to the edifying of the church, which is why we spend so much time teaching, training, activating, sharpening our gift, because we don't want to just prophesy, we want to excel in it. We want to make sure that we're excelling in the prophetic. That's the challenge for every believer and every church. Are you not only are you prophesying, are you excelling in it? Because many people say, well, I prophesy, and maybe they do, but maybe they're not excelling. Maybe their prophetic utterance is average, below average. Maybe every now and then they get stirred to prophesy, but is there a consistent flow? Out of your belly flowing the rivers of living water? Are you excelling in it? Have you taken the time to study this, to operate, to sharpen your gifting, to get training, to get activation, to get impartation, to be around others that prophesy? Do you do it on a consistent basis? Do you desire? Are you zealous of it? Do you covet to prophesy? And do you excel in it? See, your attitude toward the prophetic will determine your level. Again, our church came into the prophetic in 1989. At that time, we were Pentecostal, we spoke in tongues, but we definitely did not excel in prophecy. We had maybe one prophecy every blue moon, and that's, of course, using hyperbole, but we didn't operate very much in prophecy. We shouted, we danced, we spoke in tongues, but we preached, we taught, we did what Pentecostals do. We believed in the power of the Holy Spirit, but we weren't excelling in it until we got exposed to it, began to train, began to activate, began to impart, began to teach, began to move. Now our level of prophetic, I would consider, is excellent. We've gone beyond the mediocre stage. We're still learning. We're still growing. We always sharpen our gift. We're always trying to excel even more. We're never satisfied. We haven't arrived, but we are excelling beyond what we were doing years ago. So that's 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 12. Not only should you be zealous of spiritual gifts, but you should desire to prophesy. Now, as you read down in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and it says in verse number 22, it says, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not, but prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So prophecy is primarily for believers. Speaking in tongues was a sign to unbelievers. It's taken from Isaiah chapter 28, with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. It was a reference to God judging Israel by sending the Babylonians against them that would speak in tongues in a language they did not understand. And so tongues primarily is a sign to unbelievers. It's interesting that I have not taught on tongues and interpretation, but there are times in our services when I feel an unction to give a message in tongues and to give the interpretation. Usually we spend more time prophesying than giving tongues and interpretation, but often I will feel an unction to give a message in tongues, and usually that happens when there are quite a number of unbelievers in our service, because tongues gets the attention of unbelievers. It's a sign to them. It actually convicts them. And so there's a difference between prophecy brings conviction also to unbelievers, even though it's primarily for believers. And you see that in chapter 14, verse 23, or verse 24. Let me read verse 24. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, one unlearned, he is convicted or convinced of all, he is judged of all. Verse 35, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Now, this is one of the most powerful verses of how churches that move in the prophetic will bring conviction to sinners. We have found that prophecy, even though it's a sign to believers, and even though it edifies, exhorts, and comforts believers, it has a tremendous impact on unbelievers. It says that when people come into your assembly who are unlearned, they don't know anything about prophecy, anything about the Spirit of God, they're not even believers, and you begin to prophesy, it says the secrets of their heart are made manifest. Prophecy has a way of causing the secrets of the heart to be made manifest. God's word is able to go into the heart. Hebrews 4 and 12 tells us, for the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing it even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the word of the Lord has a way of going straight to the heart and revealing the thoughts and intents of the heart. When you begin to speak prophetically, it's amazing how God begins to speak to the hearts of people and even begins to reveal the secrets of their heart. And it says, so falling down on their face, they will worship God and testify that God is in you of a truth. I so desire the prophetic to become a part of every local assembly. Then when you begin to worship, you sing prophetically. We're going to do a teaching on prophetic worship as we continue this teaching online. And when you prophesy, how that the prophetic, when it's incorporated in worship, how it has an effect on unbelievers. It's amazing how unbelievers, when they get convicted, they'll begin to worship. And they'll begin to fall down and worship God and say that God is in you of a truth. And so I want to encourage you in the prophetic. I want to encourage you to operate in this, because it is such a powerful, powerful way of seeing God move in an assembly, and it brings such blessing. It edifies, exhorts, and comforts believers, but it brings conviction and worship to unbelievers. I love to see unbelievers beginning to worship God when they hear God's voice. They know it's God. They know that no one else can say that. No one else can speak to my heart like God. It's amazing when people come into your assembly, the things on their heart that no one has ever, they've never told anyone, and you begin to prophesy and you begin to speak those things forth. It's amazing how they get convicted. They begin to fall down and worship God, even though they don't even know the Lord. Many of them end up getting saved. So the word of the Lord, prophecy, is a powerful way of edifying, exhorting, and comforting believers. We should be zealous of it. We should desire it. We should covet it. We should excel in it. And we should allow it to flow in our assemblies, because that is what also blesses or convicts unbelievers. Now, verse 29 says this: let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted, for the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. First thing I want to point out is that Paul actually limits the number of prophets that can minister in a service, and he says two or three. Now, many people look at that and say, well, they emphasize don't go more than three. But I want to share this aspect of this verse to you. If Paul had to limit the number of prophets ministering in a local assembly in a given service to two or three, it must have meant there were more than three prophets in the local assembly. There must have been a larger number of prophets, because Paul had to limit it to two or three. And just think of this. How many prophetic ministers, how many prophetic people are operating in a local church? And I'm not talking about one prophet, the house prophet, or the pastor doing all the prophesying. How many prophetic people have been trained, activated, released? How many prophets are in the assembly? I believe every church should have numbers of prophetic people. It should be more than three. If you have a large assembly, you should have more than one person doing all the prophesying. And so Paul says, if they prophesy, do it by two or three. Let the others judge. Let the other prophets judge what the prophet is speaking. So prophets need to be accountable to other prophets. No prophet is independent, whereby no one can judge them or judge their utterances. Other prophets know the prophetic, and you pretty much know when someone is off and someone is on. And that's why you need to prophesy in a corporate gathering where there are other prophetic people that can hold you accountable, that can discern whether or not your prophetic utterance is of God. Everyone who's prophesying, we know, is not speaking by the Spirit of God, but there's safety in numbers, which is why we have prophetic companies, prophetic teams. We have groups of prophets in our church. Why we don't believe in lonely, isolated prophets. We believe that you should be a part of the prophetic community. Remember, the difference between the old covenant prophets and new covenant prophets is that old covenant prophets were primarily prophesying to apostate, backslidden Israel. They were persecuted. They were hunted. They were killed. But in the local church, we should have a prophetic community where prophets are welcome. You should not be persecuted, run out of town, or killed if you're a prophet or you're a prophetic person in the local assembly, because all of us should be prophetic. Every believer should be prophetic, so you should feel welcome. So there should be groups of prophetic people in the local assembly who feel comfortable to prophesy, and others can judge the level of the prophetic or whether or not it's accurate, and they can take turns. No one should monopolize the prophetic. No one person should do all the prophesying. No one person should take up all the time. He said, let the prophet speak two or three. Let the others judge. If anything's revealed to someone else, let them come forth. I have a saying, don't be a prophetic hog. Don't hold the mic. Don't do all the prophesying. Don't take over the service. You're not the fourth member of the Godhead. There are other people that can flow. We know in part, we prophesy in part, and you can give your part. But if something is revealed, because sometimes when the prophetic is released in a church and people begin to prophesy, other prophets get stirred up and they'll get some revelation and they can come forth. Now, often in our churches, unfortunately, our services are not designed for this, because usually we have the singing, the worship, a choir, an offering, and the pastor gets up and preaches, and there's really no room for the prophetic. Well, we're going to have to change, and leaders are going to have to change and give room for the prophetic if you want to see this operate. If you don't give it time or room, it will not operate. Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to force himself into service. If there's no desire, no zeal, no excellence, no room for it, it's not going to manifest. So leaders need to be open and really study this chapter to understand the place that prophecy should have in the local assembly. Then it says the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, which means if you have a word, you can hold it until the time comes for you to release it. You're not out of control. You're not wild. God's not breaking your arm. Sometimes the Spirit of God stirs in you the Navi from the inside, or the Nataf. I spoke on that last week, when it falls on you. Sometimes when the prophetic begins to flow, many prophetic people start getting stirred. When one prophet begins to prophesy, another prophet gets stirred up, and they'll step in and continue the prophetic, maybe in a different area. But the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, so there is order. It's not wild. It's not out of order. It can be done in an orderly fashion. Now, many leaders are afraid because they think that if I release the prophetic because it's inspirational or spontaneous, that maybe it's going to get out of control. And so aren't things supposed to be done decently and in order? Well, absolutely. We're talking about prophetic protocol. There's a way for it to go. And as a leader, you should not kill the prophetic. You should govern the prophetic. You should allow it to operate. You should teach on this, how it flows, how we're to work with one another, how we're to release the word at the right time, how to give space to it, when there's an opportunity, when the anointing is flowing, how to excel in it, how to do it in an excellent way. And these are things that can be taught. And once the congregation becomes understanding of the prophetic, and once the congregation begins to understand the different ways the prophetic is released, then it's very easy to flow in different dimensions of the prophetic. Now, I have spent 40 minutes teaching, and I know that there's some questions coming, and I'm going to try to answer some of these questions. And thank you so much for giving the questions. Then at the end, I'm going to minister prophetically. I may even prophesy over some people that are asking the questions, and just release the word of the Lord over you. Here's Terry. Terry, you chime in every week. Are there any other books beside yours that you would recommend reading? A great question on the prophetic. I would recommend that you read the 3-volume series on the called Prophets and Personal Prophecy by Bill Hammon, Hamon. He has a 3-volume series. You can go to Amazon and order that. We carry it on our website as well. His books are tremendous. Bill Hammon, Hamon. He has a tremendous series, three volumes called Prophets and Personal Prophecy. So I would definitely recommend that you read those particular books on the prophetic. There are others that I can't think of. Let me recommend one of my spiritual daughter's books, Michelle McLean. Her book is called The Prophetic Advantage. I'd recommend that you get a copy of that particular book. You can order that on our website, The Prophetic Advantage, and she's one of the prophets in our local assembly, and does a great teaching on the prophets, prophetic, and gives a testimony of how God brought her into the prophetic. So I'd recommend those books, and I know that you'll really be enriched if you read those particular books. Okay, here we go again. Terry, you have another question. Can you give a definition or example of how you excel in prophecy? Okay, well, when you excel in prophecy, remember the word excel means to superabound in quality or quantity. Now, when you excel in the prophetic, your prophetic utterances will be stronger, they'll be deeper, they'll carry more revelation. Your prophetic utterance was also, you'll have more of them. You'll abound in utterance or in numbers. You'll prophesy on a consistent basis. You won't stumble in your prophecies. You'll be able to give a flow accurately. You'll be able to use words that are clear and easily understood. That's what it means to excel. When you first begin to prophesy, your prophetic utterances may be very short or very basic because maybe your faith is not strong to release a word. But the more you flow prophetically, the deeper your prophetic words will become. Another way you can excel in prophecy is to have a good foundation in the Word of God, because when sometimes you can prophesy scriptures and give the Word of the Lord, turn the Logos into Rhema. So I believe that a deep understanding, good teaching in the Word can also. Let me give you a word, Terry. The Lord says, son, I'm going to cause you to excel in the prophetic, and I'm going to take your level because you've hungered and because you've thirsted to understand the prophetic. The Lord says, I'm going to break the limitations off of you. I'm going to cause you to be one that will not only prophesy, but I'm going to use you in the days to come even to activate and help others to come in the prophetic. And I'm going to use you to teach and train others. I'm going to train and teach you in a greater level, but I'm going to use you to train and teach others who know nothing about the prophetic. And I'm going to use you to speak into the lives of leaders. I'm going to use you to speak into the lives of pastors. I'm going to use you to speak into the lives of those who are discouraged and frustrated. I'm going to use you to give a word. Lord, I'm going to give you grace to speak to them in ways that even those who don't believe in prophecy are going to be touched by the words that are going to come out of your mouth. So the Lord said, keep pressing in, my son, and keep pursuing the prophetic. I'm giving you a zeal. I'm giving you a passion. I'm causing you to covet, to desire this. I put that inside of you, and as you act on it and move in it, it's going to increase in your life, and as you study and read and prepare yourself, I'm going to release that ministry. And the Lord said, even in the days to come, son, you're going to go overseas. You're going to prophesy even overseas in distant lands. For I'm going to take you to another level of ministry. I'm going to open the doors for you and cause the finances to be put in your hands, and I'm going to cause breakthroughs. So be encouraged and know it's a new day and a new season for you. You're coming into a new place in the prophetic and a new place in the spirit, and I'm going to cause this word to launch you and to release you further into your destiny, and you can obey my voice and do what I've called you to do in the days to come. Okay, Natasha, that was Natasha. I was prophesying to Terry, though. Natasha, you asked the question. Since I was giving that word to Terry, let me give you a word, Natasha. The Lord said, daughter, the Lord said, even as you begin to study, I'm going to take you deeper in the word. I'm going to cause the word to open up to you. I'm going to cause you even to understand things that have been hidden from your eyes. I'm going to begin to cause you to see scriptures you've never seen before. I'm going to begin to cause light to shine in the darkness. And the Lord said, this will not be a difficult subject for you to comprehend and understand. I'm going to teach you on a basic level. I'm going to move you into a deeper level, and I'm going to cause you to operate in a deeper level of prophetic intercession and even prophetic worship, and even the song of the Lord shall flow from your mouth, and you shall prophesy, and you'll sing prophetically, and you'll walk in a different realm of the Spirit. So be encouraged, daughter, and continue to seek my face and seek my voice and hear my word, and continue to study to show yourself approved unto me, and I'm going to cause my word to unravel and unwind and even to open up to you, and I'm going to cause greater clarity and understanding to be your portion in the days to come. Okay, here's a question by Tony. When interpreting tongues, are you getting understanding of those tongues in English at the same time you are speaking in tongues? How does this happen for you? Well, when you interpret tongues, it could be different ways, but to me it comes almost like prophecy. When I speak in tongues, it's almost like it turns the tongues I'm interpreting comes out like a prophecy. I begin literally to prophesy or speak forth by the Spirit of God what the tongue is saying. That's the way it happens for me. For others, they actually can interpret, or they can actually sense or know what the tongue is saying. They can not necessarily know it word for word, but they have an idea of what the tongue is saying, and they can speak forth or what God is saying. Remember, speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues does not have to be you're trying to interpret the tongue every syllable word for word. Sometimes the interpretation can be longer than the tongue. Sometimes the interpretation can be shorter than the tongue, because you're basically interpreting or giving the audience a message of what the tongue has just released. All right, thank you, Tony, for that question. Let's see, Terry, I hope you got the word I released to your brother. In reference to speaking in tongues of edification and exhortation, what is interpretation of tongues? Well, interpretation of tongues is simply interpreting what the tongue is saying. You can do that as you pray. You can pray in tongues, and God can give you the interpretation of what you're praying, or there can be a public message of diverse kinds of tongues when the interpretation comes forward. And it's basically interpreting what the tongue is. And basically, tongues and interpretation is equivalent to prophecy, because the person understands the message. Tongues is inspired utterance in an unknown tongue. Interpretation is the interpretation of that particular inspired utterance in the known tongue. Okay, let's see here. This is Tamika. I don't want to be a Lone Ranger prophet, but I've always been rejected by leaders regarding my giftings. How do I balance submitting my giftings in a church setting? Well, you really need wisdom, Tamika. Again, one of the problems that you have around the world are prophetic people who sit in churches that don't operate in the prophetic. It can be very frustrating. Often the leader doesn't understand it. Often the leader is not trained to develop it. This is why I believe that churches need to transition into more of an apostolic model, whereby they begin to release and activate people in their giftings and callings. What I would encourage you to do is to find a place or believers in your city, whether it's a prophetic school of the prophets, a prophetic company, a prophetic church. You don't have to necessarily leave your church, but at least get around others who flow in the prophetic to get more training, activation, and get around others who flow prophetically. The last resort sometimes is that people actually end up leaving a church because their gift is never awakened or released. But you have to find a church that does believe in the prophetic. You have to really battle against your gift dying. You have to keep your gift stirred, even if you just have to sing prophetically in worship in your devotional time. Sing prophetically and sing. Keep your gift stirred. Keep the river of water flowing out of your belly. When you're worshiping God in private, sing prophetically. Sing to the Lord. Sing the song of the Lord. Keep your gift stirring. And so sometimes the prophetic is actually ministering prophetically in song to the Lord without having to prophesy to someone. And then when people need a word, if you encounter people and you're ministering to them in evangelism or praying for them, then release the word of the Lord over their life. That doesn't have to be long, but keep your gift stirred and keep yourself encouraged so your gift will not die. Okay, thank you so much for that question. Let's see here. I'm trying to keep this in the area of the prophetic. What's the difference between word of knowledge and prophecy? Well, word of knowledge is basically knowing something about an individual by the Spirit of God. So prophecy can be the vehicle through which the word of knowledge comes. For instance, you can prophesy to someone and say, when you were 14, you were hurt, you were wounded, but the Lord is healing you, he's delivering you. Well, only by the Spirit of God. You got a word of knowledge that at 14, that person went through something. Sometimes the Lord can give you an age. He can give you a year. The Lord says in 2006 there was something traumatic came into your life. You lost a loved one. The Lord said, I'm removing the hurt. I'm removing the pain. I'm healing you of your wound. Only you can know. Or the Spirit of God was saying to you that the enemy has attacked you with sickness in your kidneys or your lungs or something that only you can get knowledge from God. That's a word of knowledge. When you know. He have knowledge, a word, a portion of God's knowledge that comes by God, and then you can speak when you prophesy and incorporate that word of knowledge in the prophetic word. Often when prophets prophesy, they also have the gift of word of knowledge that flows with them, which makes their prophecies more detailed, sometimes names, dates, times, predicting of the future, because within the prophetic utterance, there is a word of knowledge that comes forth. Okay, let's see. Okay, this is Terry again. At the end of your book, God Still Speaks, can you elaborate on this one protocol of avoiding being too demonstrative or dramatic and excessive hand motions? Well, sometimes when people prophesy, they think they've got to, you know, make a lot of motions. They got to jerk. They got to scream, you know, in order to get the effect. Well, if you do that sometimes, people are busy watching you and all your motions and not really paying attention to what you're saying. Now, there are times when the Spirit of God can come on you and a prophet can be very demonstrative, and I'm not against that. Prophets were demonstrative, but you don't have to jerk, scream, shake. You have to use religious words to make it, or you have to be over dramatic to make the word strong. You can prophesy sometimes very calmly, sometimes very strongly, but stand there. So we try to encourage people not to pick up things, and it becomes a habit whereby you take away from the prophetic words that you're trying to give. The focus is on the word, not on the action. And again, I'm not saying you can't be demonstrative or you can't use hand motions, because sometimes when I'm prophesying, I'll begin to use hand motions, or sometimes when I prophesy, I'll just stand there and prophesy without a lot of motion. But don't be overly dramatic. And don't get into a place where you feel you have to do something physical, because sometimes people get into fleshly religious manifestations and they call it prophecy when it's really a religious spirit and it's a fleshly manifestation that's operating in their life. Okay, what do you do in your region when there are no churches operating on this level of the prophetic and prophecy and are supposed to be apostolic? Well, you need to find a conference. You need to go somewhere. You need to come to Chicago and visit us. You need to find a conference, a prophetic conference, get hooked up with a prophetic company, join a prophetic network. If there's no one in your city doing it, you may have to travel outside of your city to get some information and some stirring. Churches often call themselves apostolic and don't even move in the prophetic, and that's unfortunate because we have more terminology than we do actual manifestation. Many people just don't even know what the prophetic is. So pray for your church. I encourage you to get books into the hands of people. Pass out books on the prophetic. Let people read. Let them study, because sometimes it's just a lack of knowledge. But don't die. I've known people to move, and I don't encourage anyone to move to Chicago. I'm not trying to get you to move to my city. You do what God tells you to do. But I've known people that had moved physically, geographically, because they didn't want to die in a city where there was no manifestation of the Spirit of God. Okay, I think I have time for maybe a few more questions. Let's see here. Okay, let me do this one by I'm trying to. Okay, I'll do Angel Clark here. Hi, Apostle. How do you achieve above average in prophetic if the prophetic ministry you're submitted under rarely engages in prophetic presbytery? Well, the only way you can do that is to find a network or find a group where that you can actually get trained, activated. In our city of Chicago, we do activations once a month at our local church. And there may be a chance in your city or in your region there is someone that does this, even though you may not know about them. You may have to Google it, investigate it, find someone near you. or you can go and get some prophetic training. God is raising up prophetic schools and prophetic activation all around the country. So we're not the only one doing this. Almost every region in each major city has some churches that are moving in this. If you're in a small area, it may not be as predominant, but you can generally find a place close by you where you can go or travel to get more training and activation. Read good books. Get a good study. Avail yourself to people that flow prophetically. Get around people that flow prophetically. Let them impart to you, help you, activate you, and lift your level. The ultimate is to get around an apostolic leader who's able to push you and activate you and stretch you to move out in the things of the prophetic, so you won't just die without ever moving in the gifts or in the realm of the prophetic. Okay. Keith, God deals with me in dreams, but oftentimes I have a hard time remembering everything He's shown me or understanding them. Is this normal? Well, sometimes it is difficult for people to remember their dreams. What I recommend a person to do is if they have a dream when they first wake up, to try to write down exactly what they dream. Or if you're having a problem in this area, to ask God to help you to remember the dream. Pray. Pray before you go to sleep and say, Lord, if I dream tonight, let me wake up and remember the dream. Or bind any spirit or any enemy that comes to try to steal that from you. Any spirit, take authority when you pray at night. So I bind any dream thief, any thief that will come try to steal my dream. All dreams are not meant to be remembered. Some dreams are you won't remember, but if it's really a dream from God, you do want to remember it and ask God to help you in that area. And because dreaming is a part of the prophetic realm. Okay, let's see here. I'll do this one. What do you do when you have someone that is a part of your house and God continues to give different people a prophetic word for that person, but that person doesn't have a desire to receive any other prophetic words? Well, if people don't want to receive the prophetic word, you really can't give them much. Sometimes God will actually bring a word of correction to people and warn them, even if they don't receive it, but at least they've been warned. So sometimes you have to tell people the word even though they don't want to receive it. They reject it. That's between them and God. But if people don't want to receive the word, it's very difficult sometimes to give them the word. And oftentimes you won't have the liberty or freedom even to give it to them unless it's a word of correction. But it's very dangerous to not want to receive or have a desire to receive the word of God. Often that's pride. It is shutting off what God wants to say. It is fear. It is ignorance. It is not of God. And so just pray for the person that God would open up their hearts. Sometimes when people get in trouble, they really want to hear the word. Sometimes they have to wait until they get in trouble before they hear the word of the Lord. Well, I'm going to have to stop there. And I want to pray for you. And don't forget to go to my website at www.johneckhartministries.com. Order the book, God Still Speaks. I don't have a copy with me. I'm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, doing today's show. I didn't bring my book with me, but it's called God Still Speaks. I'll put it on my Facebook page. You can go straight to the link and get it and read that particular book. If something I've said has stirred you and you're getting a greater understanding, get the book and read it, because there's so much more in the book that I cannot cover in just 1 hour of sharing. And again, go, and also you should be able to view the previous prophetic schools. This is part 3. If you missed the first two, you can also go to www.johneckhartministries.com and view the previous teachings and get a complete picture of what I'm trying to share with you. Father, I bless everyone that is viewing this program. And I release the word of the Lord to you. The Lord says, don't be afraid. Don't draw back. I'm giving you a new faith. I'm giving you a new understanding. As my word has said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. I desire you to have wisdom in the prophetic. I desire you to have wisdom in the spirit, says the Lord, that you might do what is wise, that you will not do anything foolish. And I come to give you a greater understanding so that you'll not fear or draw back from this area. The Lord said, this is a day of revelation. It's a day of insight. It's a day I'm answering questions, even the people who've had questions nations for years. It's the day I'm opening up new realms and new chapters for you, that you might walk in a different chapter of your life. And I'm launching people into their destiny and into their purpose. And I'm causing more and more people to come into an understanding. And those who've been viewing this program, some have tuned in saying, oh, what is this? I don't even know what this is. And what is this man referring to? The Lord said, oh, I'm speaking to you, and I'm drawing you into a deeper realm of what it means to walk in the Spirit. For I desire my children not just to be saved, not just to go to heaven, but I desire for you to move in the Spirit. And I desire edification, exhortation, and comfort to be your portion. And I desire my word to come from your mouth to bring deliverance and healing unto multitudes in the days to come. And I'm even speaking to ministers and saying, I'm going to increase the level of the prophetic in your ministry. For many of you have preached and you've taught and you've studied and you said, God, I want to answer the call. The Lord said, I'm bringing a new dimension of the prophetic into your ministry. And regardless of your call, some of you are called to be evangelists, some of you are called to be pastors, some of you are called to be teachers, but I'm going to call you to walk in the prophetic, and you'll not just be a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist, but you'll be a prophetic evangelist, you'll be a prophetic pastor, you'll be a prophetic teacher, and even there are apostles that I'm calling to launch out and take and move into the prophetic, and they're teaching apostles, but I'm raising up prophetic apostles, and you'll not just teach, you'll prophesy, and you'll stir, and you'll part, and you'll activate people, and you help release them into their destiny. So be encouraged. It's a new day. It's a day I'm challenging ignorance and bondage and darkness, and I'm bringing a new wave of understanding and knowledge across the land, and many will rise up in this hour, and they'll take the books in their hands, and they'll read and they'll study, and they'll go into another level of knowledge and understanding. So know this day I release a spirit of understanding. I release a spirit of wisdom. I release a spirit of knowledge. I release a spirit of revelation upon you. You're going to begin to see things you've never seen before. You're going to begin to understand scriptures you've never understood before in a different realm, in a different way. I'm going to break the seals and open up the word for you. So be encouraged. I speak to you today to release you into a new realm, into a new area, into a new arena of ministry. I'm breaking the limitations. I'm bringing you out of a closed place. I'm expanding your borders. I'm taking you to a further horizon. I'm taking you beyond the horizon. And what you've seen before, you're going to go beyond that. I'm calling you to break limits. And even the words that are coming forth in this hour are going to break limitations off of people and off of your ministries. For it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. So Father, I bless everyone that is viewing this program and this telecast. I speak grace, favor, peace, and shalom upon their life in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to try to do it again next Monday, 7 p.m. Central Time. We'll post the exact time. Hopefully that'll be the right time. Go to the Facebook page and find the exact time and the links. And I hope to see you again next week. Encourage someone else to tune in, and I'll be blessed by the teaching. And God bless you and keep you is always my prayer. I love you. Thanks for tuning in, and you be blessed.